Today on Vox Talks Economics, the effects of mixing friendship and politics on campus. Welcome to Vox Talks Economics from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Every week we bring you the best new research in economics. So remember, follow us wherever you get your podcasts and give us a review as well. In the past year and a half, students at Sciences Po in Paris, as in many universities around the world, have been demonstrating, some in support of Palestinians in Gaza, others in support of the Israeli government. The demonstrations have at times caused police to be mobilized to keep the two sides apart. It seems that on this and many other political topics at the moment, differences between students are often very visible and seemingly irreconcilable. But a decade ago, a natural experiment into friendship at Sciences Po showed that maybe students can start to bridge those political gaps simply by getting to know each other better. Yves Zenou of Monash University, he's also a CEPR fellow, is one of the authors of a CEPR discussion paper that describes this experiment and its highly relevant results. When I spoke to him, I first asked him whether this apparent political polarization that we're seeing is stronger now than it was in the past.
I think so, because mostly about social media. So for example, when I was young and at uni, the only way to interact with people was going to uni and physical interaction.
Yeah.
So now you have all this very simple, quick message.
And one of the explanations for this polarization is that we are in these online echo chambers in places like X. What does this mean to be in an echo chamber?
It means that you only encounter information or opinions that just reinforce your own opinion. So if you are, I don't know, a Republican in the US, you're only going to listen to people which have the same opinion like you. Like, you're going to watch Fox News, you're going to think about people pro-Trump. And so there's really this reinforcement of your own opinions, and meaning you're going to reject the other opinion. There's this new term called affective polarization. So you have ideology of polarization that we know, but the affective one is that it's based on emotion. So if you're a Republican and a Democrat say, oh, let's do something about, I don't know, vaccine, about COVID, you will reject it without any consideration. You speak about abortion, you speak about immigration. So people do reject whatever is coming from someone you're against it. And that's very bad, because it's very difficult to change your opinion because of that.
Yeah, does this explain the whole of the polarization debate that we have? Is this a sufficient explanation?
No, I think that there is much more. And what I read from the research is that actually social media have this negative impact that we discussed, but may have a positive impact, because you are exposed to more diversity, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to be exposed to many, many people. Many people have different opinion. You may change. So it's not clear that social media is always negative, but this seems to be the key stuff. But I would say, like, geographical segregation is another part of the story. The fact that you only interact with people which have, I don't know, same income, same preferences, and so you don't interact with other people, keep you prejudiced, you know, alive, and you don't change your opinion.
Now, we're discussing students today, and many of us think about universities perhaps sentimentally as a place where we form our opinions and we learn new things from others, and we meet that wide range of people from different places, different parts of society. So thinking as an undergraduate student, how might that undergraduate student be affected by these interactions? Or alternatively, how might it go the other way and undergraduate students end up being trapped in echo chambers?
One thing which is very interesting is that when I was a student, long time ago in the 80s, you know.
Me too, yeah.
A very long time ago. So we would go to the uni, we would learn, we would interact a lot.
Yeah.
So what I see now is that after COVID, students don't come to uni a lot. So when I teach, very few students coming, you try to bring them back. So there's less interaction with knowledge and less interaction between them. And of course, this may increase also this polarization. So it's a different interaction that we have compared to before. And so a lot of information, they get it online. A lot of these kids, they look at recorded lectures rather than real interaction. And it's a bit of pity for knowledge and learning, because I think from the teachers, they can learn many opinions of many topics. And that will be a way for them to open up.
Yeah, now, this research focuses on undergraduates at Sciences Po in Paris. Now, academics like yourself, podcasters like me, we often argue that students today are not particularly politically engaged. You hear that argument a little bit less at the moment for obvious reasons. Do Sciences Po students, do they have strong political opinions when they show up at university?
Just to give you an amazing number, I think if you say for the last 60 years, all the presidents of France, all of them but one, have been a student of Sciences Po. Huh. That's huge. So it's really a school of future politicians. Of course, the students, not all of them going to do politics, but they're very, very, very engaged in politics. So it's a very, very heated debate, mostly about political economy and politics.
Okay, we'll talk about the research in a second.
Why do some protests persist and some disappear? Why do some remain peaceful, but others become violent? In our episode, How Protests Are Born and How They Die, from September 2024, Benoît Schwutzblock explains how social media gives life to protest movements, but can also kill them off.
Okay, this research is based on the Sciences Po Integration Week. Now, what is Integration Week? Why does it exist?
That's very specific to Sciences Po. And as researcher, it was a little bit the dream. So why? So they start in September, but the last week of August, there's this Integration Week. And the good thing for us is it randomly allocated by alphabetic order, a group of 16 students. So that's a good thing. And it's a way just to socialize them. So these kids, they come from all over France. 99% we check don't know each other before. So they arrive there and it's a way for them to interact with other students. They do a lot of activity with our social mostly. And you know, when you finish high school and you start at college or uni, it's very new. It's unique because no other university does that.
So in this Integration Week, they're not sitting in rooms discussing politics or doing any work or studying or anything like that. It's one week where these randomly allocated groups just socialize.
Yes, they go to visit museum in Paris, they go together, it's just really building social connection.
These randomly allocated groups go out and they socialize, they do these things during their week. What happens after Integration Weeks to these groups?
Okay, they dissolve. So during this week, they do a lot of social activity. Then it gets dissolved and they never be again together. Never.
Okay.
So Everything that happened afterward, which is good for researcher, they're going to be allocated to, tutorial, lecture, which had nothing to do with Integration Week.
Okay, so for this research, what are you trying to measure? How do you measure it?
What we measure is two things. So these kids started in September 2013.
Right.
And we did our survey in March 2014. And we asked them their political opinion. And they have to give a number between 0 and 10. 0, extreme left. 10, extreme right. 5, center. That's the idea.
Okay.
And we asked them also who are their friends, up to 10 friends. And then we asked also to recall the same question about political opinion 7 months before, which is August 13. So before they start, we want to know, did you change? Because we want to see if they change their opinion before beginning and 7 months after.
Right. So what is this effect? So we've got the effect of being assigned to the same group on their opinions. Is there an effect on opinion convergence between the students?
We found a very strong effect. We look at the difference before they start and after, and we take two kids at random. If they were allocated to this integration group, as opposed not allocated integration group, and what we find, we get this negative effect of integration group on the political opinion gap.
Right.
So on average, if you randomly allocate it to this group, which is only 1 week, it's not very long,
it's
going to reduce the political opinion gap by 0.16. And to understand, it's 8% of the mean gap. Mean gap is 2, roughly. And 11% of the standard deviation. So it's a big effect for that. And the second effect, it also reduces the probability of divergence. So not only it helps people to converge, but they don't diverge. If you and I, we relatively similar, we're not going to diverge after that. So it's a big effect for just 1 week of integration week. At the same time, it's a week when you start your student life. So it's a very important week to build a relationship.
So we've got this important relationship that's happening at a very important time in the students' lives, but it's a very, very brief relationship. You register this effect 7 months later. Is it causal? Can we be sure that being allocated to these groups for such a short length of time is causing this?
So what is causal for sure is a random allocation to this group.
Sure.
And the effect on political opinion is causal because nothing can happen to that. But what is the mechanism? Why 1 week? And then what we show is that if you and I, we've been allocated to this integration group, we have on average 70% more chance to be friends than if we're not allocated to this group. That's huge. So what we show is that they're much more likely to be friends to each other. And because they're friends, they start to share opinions. They go to the same political association and they end up converging in opinion. So it's a very important starting point.
Yeah, but say I've got a friend who I think similarly to when I meet them at the beginning of this integration week. And I think, oh, here's someone who thinks the same way about me. And we're friends for a week. We carry on our friendship afterwards. I can see how our opinions might converge a little bit. What happens if it's someone who I meet and I think, I like this person, they're a friend, but I don't agree with their politics. Do our politics converge in that case?
What we find is that if the gap is not too large at the beginning, you do converge. But we show that if you meet an extremist, meaning 0-1, extreme left, or 9 or 10, then you don't converge. So it's really at the extreme, extremist stays the same. You only converge if the gap is not too large and you are between 3 and 7.
I guess it's too much to hope for, isn't it? That the Nacional and the communists are going to converge.
When you were young, you were friend with Nigel Farage. I don't think you would change his opinion.
I wasn't, for the record.
If randomly you were located to some group, maybe you will not be friend with him. Mm-hmm. But that's the idea. You don't go to the extreme, right or left.
This is a very hot topic for universities at the moment, particularly in the United States. Should we be saying we need less polarization in views in university? Is it perhaps healthy that you have these very extreme points of view and this is a space in which they can be expressed?
So that's the trade-off. They should be able to say whatever they want. At the same time, you want them to come and to learn something. So these kids, they spend a year demonstrating. They don't go to lectures. I know when you're 20, you're so excited. You think you're already right. There's no other answers and so forth. I understand. This is something which is very far away from them. It's not their country. The Middle East is very complicated. Don't be aggressive. Just talk to each other and try to understand. But they should learn. They're here also to learn. When you're 20, you should learn. And now, you know, sometimes they decide what we can say as lecturer or not. Sometimes they're very aggressive. And, oh, no, you can't say that. I mean, this is a bit too much.
Can we argue that this is something that might apply for political views more generally in other types of group or online? Or is it something that happens in Sciences Po?
It's very difficult to say. As I say, Sciences Po is very special in a way that it's very engaged politically. But I believe that, according to my experience, I'm sure your experience, when you start college, it's so important. So the people you meet then, you're still friends 30 years after. So these are very important people. So as long as they're not too much or too far away to you, I'm sure we keep talking. I'm 60 and still talking to friends for 30 years and we're still debating. Sometimes we not agree, but there's something in common. So I believe that this effect is beyond Sciences Po. And you must think the same of yourself your mates, you know, when you were young, and maybe you're still debating with them, not always agreeing.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to agree at this point. So let's imagine in society in general, for policy, we wanted to reduce the amount of political polarization. We consider that to be damaging. What does this tell us about what might work and what might not work?
I think the key is critical thinking and diversity. So what is very interesting with Sciences Po, so when we did the study, which is 10 years ago, it was very different. Today, I don't know if you heard in the news, Sciences Po was the equivalent of Columbia University.
Moments ago, police entered Sciences Po, one of the country's most prestigious universities. They were there to evacuate pro-Palestinian protesters. Like in the United States, a series of protests have erupted at Sciences Po.
So these guys, I was not there, but they don't seem to be very open to dialogue. So I will do integration group of maybe pro-Palestinian and pro-Israeli, talk to each other. Don't shut down, don't cancel people. So the university should be a place of dialogue, of diversity, of listening to each other. We don't have to be determined about having the right answer. There is no right or wrong answer. And I think the university, the teacher, the academics should help them, and you should answer based on research, based on dialogue. And I'm not sure we have that now, but that will be my take on that.
As you say, the situation is very different now. And I remember the last time I was in Sciences Po, the student demonstrations were very visible. Do you think that the mechanism you found here, which you are encouraged by, putting people together, having discussions, means that they can start to have that dialogue and maybe move towards each other, at least recognize the arguments each other has? Do you think in 2025 that exists in the same way as it existed in 2013?
I don't think so. I think it seems to be very difficult. If you have leadership from the university and try to calm down and try to ask people to come together, talk to each other, you know, I think that would be possible. You know, when it's emotion, you cannot do anything. You know, if you talk to someone who's so involved physically and emotionally, it's not rational. So you want to have rational dialogue about the facts, you know, about what the research is saying, what facts are saying. But it seems to be extremely emotional. And it seems that this generation, compared to the previous one, need to find some identity. And my feeling is that's their way of finding identity. So reduced polarization, we need to have dialogue. We need to have rational. We need to have facts. And academics are saying that can help them to go there, hopefully, with our knowledge. Yeah.
Well, if you are an academic, and especially if you are a student at university as well, I think we'd be pleased to hear from you about this and your opinions on this topic and how you managed to find a constructive debate with others, or if you do not, please let us know. We're interested in your opinion. But Eve, thank you for your opinion on this, and thank you for doing the research.
It was very interesting. Thank you.
The discussion paper is called Friendship Networks and Political Opinions. You can find it by searching for that at cepr.org or otherwise by its number, which is DP20075. The authors are Yann Algan, Niccolo Dalvit, Kwok An Do, Alexis Le Chapelain, and Yves Zanou.
Vox Talks Economics is a Torg Normal production. The assistant producer is Megan Bieber, and our editor is Andrei Zagarian. Next week on Vox Talks Economics, does economic growth inspire trust in our governments?